Ovo's. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry about that. I had a little bit of a played a little song first. I was too excited to play, you know, your favourite song of all time, Steve.
Well, that's a hook. That's keeping me around. I heard that first couple bars. I was like, you know what?
Absolutely.
I'm sticking around to hear that.
Happy Thursday, everyone. How are you, Kath?
I'm great.
Yeah? Ready to go? Like, obviously, yesterday we had our movie premiere, which is a bit of excitement.
Yeah.
Did you guys do anything else in the afternoon?
Nah, not really. Just kind of, I went to bed real early. I was very tired.
Did you nurse your sore head yesterday,
Yeah,
Steven?
I feel a million times better today. Way, way better, which is so good.
Did you eat the Cappadocia snack pack that was awaiting you at home?
So here was my diet for yesterday,
Oh,
right?
lovely.
So I had, leftover snack pack from Cappadocia for lunch when I got home. And then for dinner, I had leftover Korean fried chicken, which I'd cooked on Monday. Didn't even heat it up. Had it cold.
No fresh food was cooked in the Charlestown Castle yesterday?
No. They're just some pure grease to line my stomach, I think.
Nice one. What did you get up to, Kath?
I had a very busy day, actually. I had a PT session.
Oh, nice. How's that going, by the way?
Oh, it's going okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Good PT?
Yeah.
I
took a few days off. Because I wasn't feeling that well last week.
Ah, that's all right.
It's always, you know, a bit of a challenge to get back into the habit.
Absolutely. No, good stuff. Jess, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, just all right.
Nothing too exciting.
Nothing happened. Thornton wasn't buzzing.
Not really.
Okay. Well, we went to the Maitland Jail.
Yes, we did that.
Oh, that's cool.
Fun.
I'm sure we'll hear about that adventure going
forward.
Yeah,
not until tomorrow.
Yeah, all
right. It's embargoed until tomorrow.
Oh,
that's embargoed. News word.
Now that is a hook. Stick around, stay in your car. Now we'll play the song that I teased you with so delicately before. Enjoy it as you're waking up with the Novos here at New FM.
New FM. The Novos. And this is New FM at breakfast. At breakfast.
The Novos. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed Freelance last night, our premiere screening. Of course, the movie opens for everybody else today, but we saw it last night.
Nah.
A little bit lucky, right?
In VMAX at Event Cinemas Glendale, and it was pretty good. I, you know, had read some of the mixed reviews, but, you know, the crowd loved it. Lots of messages on the socials this morning. They had a great time. Lots of people that were actually laughing out loud, you know, in the movie, which is always a good thing. But for me, the star of the show, Christian Slater.
Oh.
Now, it may be just that I might have had a little high school girly crush on...
Oh, did you now?
But he is still damn cool. You know, young Stephen may not remember, but...
I'm having to Google because I've got memory loss due to my old age. But yes, continue.
So I remember Christian Slater from movies like Heathers, you know, which is, you know, something to put on your watch list if you haven't seen. It's one of those classic kind of old movies. But when I was like a teenager, Christian Slater was like one of the coolest athletes.
Proper heartthrob, hey?
No, he's just super cool.
Right, okay.
You know, and he still is super cool all the way through the movie. So, you know, like there's some good and bad parts of the movie, but Christian Slater is the absolute standout for me. Go and see it.
There you go. Top review from Kath as you wake up with the Novos here at New FM.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5 with Jess.
So, Jess, a lady to appear in court today after a muscle-book death last week. Quick recap, what's happening here?
Yeah, so last week police showed up at a unit on Sydney Street after concern for a woman's welfare. When they got there, they found the body of a 60-year-old woman. So this whole incident is being looked at by another police district. A critical incident investigation is underway, which often alludes to the way that the situation was handled is under investigation. So police went to the unit last Monday. They spoke to a 52-year-old woman who was there. They left a little while later. They spoke to that same woman at a licensed venue on the same street. She ended up being taken to the Mater Hospital here at Waratah for assessment. That was at about 7 o'clock at night. Then an hour and a half later, police were called back to that Sydney Street unit over concern for a woman's welfare. That's when they found the 60-year-old woman dead. So yesterday, that younger woman, she was released from hospital and charged with murder. So she's facing court today over that charge.
And what, there's an investigation into the investigation as well. Is that what you were saying?
Essentially, yeah. Wow. So
that sounds confusing.
I think there's going to be a few more updates on that one. And this is another story that never ends. There's been an update on the Kathleen Folbig case.
Yeah, so as we know, Kathleen Folbig, she's the woman who spent 20-odd years behind bars. She was accused of killing her four children. She was essentially let out a little while ago. She was released. And now the next phase in her whole situation is underway. The review that was going on into her case and the charges against her has been finished. The report's done. The report has confirmed that Tom Bathurst, the man who was doing the report, has said that she should be considered to be exonerated. So it now moves to the next stage, the Court of Criminal Appeal, where she could have her convictions completely quashed.
Wow. Interesting. And I guess, obviously, it's one of those, as you said before, Stephen, it is a case that keeps coming back, but people are so fascinated by it.
Oh, it's so fascinating. Like,
yeah, it's just something about it at a very human level that's captured Australia. Thanks for that, Jess. And, of course, a full news update again at 6 o'clock as you wake up with the Novos here at New FM. And for this next story, a bit of a health warning, if you will.
Okay.
After we learn the tale of Dina Rendall. Now, Dina is currently a student in the UK, you know, just getting in there, university, doing her thing. And she would turn up to class, and over time, her mates were like, is Dina wearing a really bad fake tan? What's going on here? They just kept saying that, right? Because the Brits, they do love a strong hue of fake tan.
If you ever
watch like a Geordie Shore or something, or Love Island UK, it is outrageous how much fake tan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so amongst the group, they're chitter-chatting. Is she going the fake tan? What's going on? Anyway, eventually they confronted her. Like, are you like really slapping on the fake tan here? Because you look proper orange. She's like, no, not at all. Turns out she was on a real health kick and was eating 10 carrots every day.
What?
And what had happened was the
carotene.
Pigment. Yeah, the pigment in the carrots was like getting into her skin and turning her orange. She was also eating three of like the red habanero pepper things, or the big like peppers, and also a sweet potato, also very orange. And it was turning her proper orange. She was starts to become worried about this. Anyway, starts like doctor googling, you know, like what to do here. She's now cut it down to a responsible 6 carrots per day.
We can't go cold turkey.
Exactly.
You need to wean yourself off.
But she's still, to get to that 6 a day, she's buying 6 kilos of carrots every week, even at the new reduced rate. Now, what she says is that by just getting the level just right, she doesn't have to pay for a tan and looks tanned all year. Now, I don't think this is a responsible way to get yourself looking tan. Surely that's too many carrots.
Well, can we go back a step?
Yeah.
Is the vitamins you find in carrot called carotene? Is that what you said?
That's the stuff that makes you go orange, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's called carotene, yeah.
There you go.
That seems too good to be true. I can't believe that.
That's an extraordinary coincidence, isn't it?
What, that something comes from carrots is called carotene?
Yeah. Okay. Extraordinary coincidence.
That's just so lucky that they discovered that after naming them carrots.
Yeah, that is really lucky.
I can't believe this. This is 10 carrots a day seems so excessive.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, actually not that surprised that she's turned orange, because that's happened to someone I know. Actually, my partner Siobhan, her mum went orange for a little bit there. She was having hummus and carrots for like every meal. Like 3 meals a day for, I don't know, months and months, and ended up having, maybe I haven't seen this picture, not full orange, but started to have a bit of an orange hue about it.
Very glowy.
Okay, yeah. So not Donald Trump orange then?
No way. But because
that's the orangest colour known to man.
But because her parents live in a different city,
right,
like don't see them very often. So, you know, it's like when a kid's growing up. The parents don't realise how tall they've gotten because they see the little change every single day.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when we see her after a couple of months, holy, holy, dooly, Martine, you're looking a bit orange. And that's when she realised as well.
Because the husband's just like seeing the
slow
change of colour. And also, if you're just on FaceTime or whatever, the colours are never quite right, are they?
No, that's it, yeah.
So, oh, well, there's a warning out there. If you eat too many carrots, you will go a Donald Trump vibes.
And also, we've learned, apparently 6 carrots a day is that magic middle mark where you get your tan, but you don't turn orange.
All you got to do is buy the carrots.
Do not recommend.
Kath says no.
UFM. The Novos. And this is New FM at breakfast. At breakfast. The Novos.
So another instalment of Stephen's celebrity sightings across Newcastle and the Hunter.
What did you see?
Well, on my way to work this morning, bright and early,
yeah.
I was on the inner city bypass, kind of near where Charlestown Road is there,
yeah.
And I saw this big truck. I was thinking, what's going on here? It's Chris Lee's, like, horse moving truck thing. Calipore in the back. I'm assuming it's Calipore. I don't know.
Must be.
It's dark, hard to see, but there's definitely a horse in the back.
Could have been any one of his horses, but yeah. Okay.
Well, you don't know. Stephen, did you see, like, any of the shape or the silhouette that you could identify as Calipore?
I'd certainly identify it as a horse.
Right.
There was a horse in the back of the truck. But it was Chris Lee's truck, you know, the big, like, you know, his logo on the side,
yeah.
Chris Lee's Plus Racing written in big letters, and a horse in the back. So I reckon I was sharing the inner city bypass this morning with a Melbourne Cup racing horse.
That is
pretty exciting, isn't it?
That's 11 out of 10.
I was pretty starstruck, actually, on the road.
Yeah.
I was thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. It's pretty neat, anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, and that's what celebs often do. They move in, like, the middle of the night to avoid the attention and
kind
of stuff. So.
And in different transport, like, sometimes they'll put them in just a regular car, so you just don't even notice as they zip through the night.
Well, yeah, there you go. Another instalment of Stephen's celebrity sightings. I'm always on the lookout.
You could have a side hustle as paparazzi, I reckon.
I just have a knack for it.
You do.
Just there or thereabouts.
Speaking of the roads, they're going to have a bit of a soapbox moment about the Muswellbrook bypass
my
next
favorite day.
Is Thursday, and I think my favourite day is Thursday because it's usually schnitty night at the pub.
Let's go up and about.
How good's a schnitzel?
Gravy, mushroom sauce?
Let's find out the Kath schnitzel order.
You've got to have the gravy.
Yeah, okay.
None of this other sorts, just the gravy.
And
the chips.
On top or in a little side ramekin?
No, you got to smother it.
Oh, okay. That's the Kath order.
The only time I vary from that is when I go home and I go to the Kilda and they do the most amazing huge steaks.
Right, okay.
And I'm sure there's probably somewhere, you know, a pub somewhere in Newcastle that does a similar kind of steak that's, you know, kind of
no
about...
No doubt.
Almost an inch thick.
Wow.
Sitting on top of the chips so it all kind of drips through. Love it. It's a so old school kind of pub meal. But I opened the internets this morning and was presented with a story that tells me that my beloved schnitty is actually a healthy meal.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm allowed to eat it.
Yeah, it is healthy.
I know. So I expected, you know, the salads and the grilled fish and everything to be on this list, but there it is. So they're saying that of all of the meals that you can get at the pub, the healthy ones are, of course, the salad, the pasta, but, you know, back off on the cheese and stuff. Steak is fine, apparently, according to this. And of all of the fried foods, if you're going to go for a fried food, go for the chicken schnitty.
Well, think about it. It's bread on the outside, one of the healthiest foods, and then chicken on the inside on a big pile of chips. What's not healthy about that?
Surely this isn't including the chips, these healthy meals.
No, chips are not listed, and it says you should steer clear of the extra sauces or cheese toppings.
Yeah.
Sorry. And the other thing you might want to consider is if it is one of those massive pub schnitzels, which it should be to call itself a pub schnitzel, that you should cut it in half and take half home for next day, which is not happening.
Who's ever done that in history?
I'm not getting a doggy bag at the pub.
What's your favourite
pub? So embarrassing.
Pub
I think normally what drags me on the, or grabs my attention on the menu,
yeah.
I love like a fried chicken burger. Absolutely, like Southern fried chicken burger
that's
or something
healthy.
Like that.
That's healthy. You got bread on the outside, same as a schnitzel, chicken on the inside. That is the same meal.
And it comes with salad right there in one hand. I get it.
Yeah, but that's normally what draws me in, I'd say. I do like a salad at the pub, though, which is unpopular with like my mates. I normally get jibed for it.
Yeah.
I do enjoy a salad, though.
It's embarrassing.
Every now and then, I like a Caesar.
A Caesar salad, yeah. Nice.
What about you, Creepo? What's your favourite meal?
A schnitzel is the safest, right? But a little while ago, when we went to the Reese Maston concert, I had, get this, a lamb cutlet.
A lamb cutlet.
Oh, my God. I've died and gone to heaven.
Can I just say as well, I was there when Creepo had this lamb cutlet.
Stag and Hunter.
I don't know if he's got a promotion or something. $38 for the lamb cutlet. It's like double what my burger cost.
Oh,
$38 for a
schnitzel. It was only $2 more than the schnitzel, though.
So no, I was
like,
not.
Yeah, well, I was up for $2, I'm having that. And my God, it was so good. Me and that cutlet. We went and got a room upstairs afterwards. It was the whole thing.
Anything on that list about the lamb cutlet?
No.
Unlucky,
no
Crevo.
Sorry.
I was hoping for a health tick.
Nah.
I haven't won this morning, though.
Novos. Waking up Newcastle and the Hunter.
105.3 New FM.
Only on 105.3 New FM.
So, last night when I was heading out to G-Dale for the movie preview.
G-Dale.
Going along... Lake Road, which is that big, like, I don't know, I think it's two lanes each way, mm-hmm. goes past that big fencing shop and everything. And I saw a pretty bad accident, actually.
Really?
A little Suzuki Swift had been, like, hit really bad. Luckily, the person inside seemed fine. But what was extraordinary about it, and I don't think I've ever seen this, every single airbag in the full curtain of airbags was deployed. Front, back, sides, all around. It was like this person was in a small tent.
Wow. Doing its job, I suppose.
And it obviously did its job. She just looked like shaken, the lady. There was people talking to them and everything. There's plenty of people around. But that is just an extraordinary testament to what the full curtain airbags can do. I've never seen that before where they all deploy. It's
wow.
just amazing bit of technology. I'm just thankful because I reckon without it, I don't think she would have been doing too well. Little tiny car like that being hit real bad.
So no real injuries, just a little bit shaken.
She just looked shaken and then sort of stood up and got out of the car.
Oh, well, that's good news, I suppose.
Good news.
I am shaken as well about this packet of chips. The most expensive packet of chips I've ever seen in my entire life. Guys, I'll feel you on how much it's going to set you back in a matter of minutes here on New FM.
Covering the big stories. Inconsistent rain today. Tops of 26 for Newcastle, 27 for Maitland and the Valley here at New FM.
What's the goss on the way? And today it's for the video game fanatics.
Ooh.
One for me.
Yeah, one of your favourite franchises on its way to the big screen.
Ooh.
I'll reveal what game next. Now, though, I want to talk about a very polarising release from Doritos, right? Not long ago, we talked about on the show, they released a flavour of chips which they marketed as deliciously fragrant and indulgingly soapy. Of course, they're talking about coriander, because for lots of people, it does taste like soap, myself included.
Really? You don't eat coriander?
Only on a bar me to act tough, because I don't want to tell the lady that I don't want it on there.
What about you, Kathy? You a coriander lady?
No.
Really? Am I the only coriander man on the team?
You're all by yourself then.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
On an island.
And even if you are into coriander, it's not appropriate on corn chips. I'm sorry. Just fine.
I don't know. I think it's good on everything. That's why I put it on everything. Okay. Ice cream's my favourite.
Oh, no, ice cream. Yeah, that's a wind up. Anyway, I think Doritos knew that this was going to be a polarising flavour because they only made 500 packs of these coriander Doritos.
Mm.
And they weren't, I don't think they were available commercially. Or maybe they were very limited, but right. A lot of these 500 packs went to like celebs, influencers, TikTok stars to like do reviews on it and stuff
that.
And for me, I was like, thank God they've only released 500. You're the same, Kath. But for people like Crevo.
I would have loved to get my greasy little mitts on some.
Well, that's it. People are like, only 500. How am I going to try it? Well, they've given you an option. Doritos have given you an option, right? Because many people were fiending for them. They've decided they're going to sell the last ever pack of coriander Doritos, but they're doing it through an auction.
Oh, damn it.
No, before you go, oh, damn it. This is raising funds for Reach Out,
okay.
Which is supporting youth
mental health.
I mean, like, your money's going to a good cause as well.
Sure.
So bidding for these coriander Doritos closes at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
So you've still got time. All
now,
right,
refresh this page so I can get the most recent bid. At the moment, the highest bid for one pack of coriander Doritos sits at $1,105 at the moment. Oh, over a grand.
That's too much for a packet of Doritos, even as someone who's excited about the flavour. And here's my concern as well about this packet, right? I'm worried that, you know how, like, when you buy the last ever Holden off the, like, production line, it's got the serial number on there?
Yeah.
And that makes it valuable, right? So you're protecting your investment. With these Dorito chips, I don't reckon they're serial numbered.
No, they are.
Has it got the 500? Oh, I'm in.
It's a number out of 500.
I'm going to try and buy it.
I think your other concern should be, like, there's been so much talk about this online.
Yeah.
I'm actually skeptical if it's going to be the last pack of Coriander Doritos.
I would reckon that there's a whole bunch of people that got sent them that are going to, you know, then sell them at some point in time.
I reckon they'll remanufacture them. I reckon they'll come back out on shelves.
I'm 100% certain that the entire thing is a PR stunt.
Oh, that is 100%
certain.
Without a
doubt.
Yeah.
But whether or not, you know, Coriander Doritos ever, you know, see their supermarket shelves, I doubt.
Okay, then it would be a good investment.
Well, regardless of our hesitancy, it is going to a good cause. Like I said, going to reach out. And you've got until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
I'll keep you guys posted.
So, I don't know, maybe you got to, like, go in with a couple mates or something like that, share the pack, watch the footy together, I don't know.
Have one chip each.
It's going to cost you All right, game lovers rejoice because, I hope I'm going to say this right, Shigeru Miyamoto, is that right? Close to right?
Idea.
I don't know. Anyway, he's an executive at Nintendo and a game designer. He's responsible for titles such as, I don't know if you guys have heard of any of these, Mario, The Legend of Zelda, Donkey Kong, just to name a few, like very prominent in the industry.
Sure.
He's tweeted, I've been working on the live-action film of The Legend of Zelda for many years now, and we have now officially started development of the film with Nintendo itself heavily involved in the production.
Ooh, that's
exciting. Legend of Zelda coming to the big screens soon.
This has been said before.
Oh,
it was supposed to be a Zelda movie, like, you know, like, before the Switch, like, way long time ago.
Are you not trusting this? What?
Look, I
pretty reputable source, surely.
Implicitly with his goss. but I'm just saying, I'm wary. It's a bit like the Muswellbrook Bypass. I've heard this before.
Okay, well, you're allowed to be cautious.
You've been hurt by these promises. I get it.
Like I said, though, he has tweeted it on his official X account, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever
formally
that is, Twitter. Yeah.
And this is following the success of the Super Mario Bros. Movie, which he's involved in as well, which grossed over $1.2 billion worldwide, set multiple box office records, including biggest worldwide opening weekend for an animated film and the highest grossing film based on a video game. So they're trying to go above and beyond, I suppose.
Well, it would go above and beyond. It would be kind of Avatar-like if they managed to pull off a Zelda movie and do it right.
Do you reckon it would be bigger than Mario?
Yeah.
Do you guys seen... Have you seen Mario, either of you?
No, I haven't seen
it. How was it, Kath?
Meh.
You didn't like it?
Meh.
Interesting, because I think it's on Netty at the moment.
You know, I mean, it's okay. It's, you know, it's a decent movie, but it's not...
You didn't blow you away.
In the old days, it's not one I would have bought on DVD.
Right, okay.
I feel like they're on a bit of a hiding for nothing, though, because they've got such a large, like, demographic to please.
Yeah.
Because Mario has just transcended time.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, like, people from 9 all the way to 90 are going to be in the cinema watching this. Mm. It's hard to please everyone.
Yeah, but the lore of Mario is not kind of, you know, really supportive to a movie.
Whereas you're right.
The story of Zelda is so strong and it is so in depth and there's so many different characters. To get them all into a movie and get it to work right is going to be a really big task.
All right, here's a question for you. If you had your choice, Kath, as a fan, live action or animated?
Ooh, animated.
Animated. All
interesting.
Right. Well, hopefully
they're
listening.
Like the Lego movie. Mixed.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Keep the characters kind of, but, you know, have them interact in the real world. I think that'd be great.
Well, there you go. That's a suggestion from the new FM team, courtesy of Kathy.
No
other
doubt
news,
they will be listening.
Stephen is a trendsetter. I'm calling it. I am a trendsetter, right?
What have you done?
Already.
How's this? There is a post going viral, which is, this is what it's quoted. Harry Styles appeared to be missing something at the U2 concert in Las Vegas this past Wednesday. His long, luscious locks, accompanied with a picture of him with short back and sides.
Get out. So they've seen your haircut on the gram, and they've gone, and he's gone, yeah, I'm doing that.
All I'm saying is, Wednesday afternoon, Australian time, I shaved my head. Thursday morning American time, Harry Styles appears in public with a shaved head.
That's not a coincidence.
Can't be a coincidence,
that's
right?
Guarantees copied you.
He's seen it on the Novo's Instagram at the Novo's underscore, and he's gone, you know what? If Stephen's doing it, I want
to
do it.
There's more to this because he used to live in a castle. You now live in a castle. That is not a coincidence.
Well, I mean, there are rumors of Harry Styles being like actually bold or balding have surrounded him basically his entire career.
Yeah.
It's been like a bit of like the folklore of the One Direction fans, the Directioners. Sure. So people are saying that this is him embracing his male pattern baldness. I think the discourse around it's just ridiculous though, because Harry Styles is one of those annoying people that just looks good, regardless of what he's wearing, how he does his hair. What's that, sorry?
I hate those people.
Yeah, I know, they are. They're just so annoying. They're insufferable.
What? Come on. It's just, you don't hate on him for looking that good.
It all stems from a place of jealousy.
Right.
But
okay.
Yeah, all I'm saying is,
it's not a coincidence.
It can't be a coincidence.
No,
I've done it first, hours later. Harry Styles has jumped on the bandwagon.
And we know he has Instagram.
Yeah, we know that for a fact.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with The Novos.
105.3 New FM.
One of my favourite things to talk about is things relating to e-scooters. Footage going viral this morning of a guy towing his boat with an e-scooter up in Queensland. It is actually extraordinary. It makes you wonder, though, how powerful are e-scooters? Like, what is the, I've seen, you know, multiple people on them and stuff like that. What else could they tow?
How's he hooked that up?
Anything.
I don't know. It's extraordinary.
Obviously, the scooter hasn't got a tow ball.
Well, no.
So how's he got this all hooked up?
It's a full boat on a trailer. I mean, the footage is grainy, and I'm sure you'll see it doing the rounds through socials this morning. But it's just like there is a world of untapped possibilities, isn't
there?
Well,
he's just jumped on one of those Lime bikes, a Lime scooter.
Yeah.
And he's just hooked up his little tingy to the
it's a full boat trailer with a boat on it.
Wow.
Amazing. Amazing stuff.
The innovation never ceases to amaze, does it?
It doesn't indeed.
That's outstanding. Honestly, I'm baffled.
Coming up soon, another innovation happening with women's leadership here in the city. We'll talk about that next on UFM. Behind
the mix of showers and storms kicking about today. Tops of 26 for Newcastle, 27 for Maitland and the Valley here at New FM.
Good morning to a special group of women in Newcastle today that are off for a walk. There is a new thing in town called mentor walks. It's actually not a new concept. It's been around for a while. Happened, I think originally started in Asia, actually. It was up in Armidale in 2021.
Okay.
And it started in Nui just last month. So this is only the second time they've done these mentor walks.
Yeah, right.
So what is a mentor walk?
Well, basically what it is they match a really senior leadership figure in Newcastle, like, so one of our many female CEOs or executive directors or, you know, people that are on boards with up to three younger women usually that want to be mentored. So instead of having like a formal process where you sit down and you kind of talk about your life goals and stuff, you go for a nice walk.
That's a good idea.
So along the foreshore and chat about whatever you want to talk about.
So is it like aspiring people in that field?
Not necessarily in that field.
Right.
So
okay.
What you do is you fill in a form and you give them like a question or a thing that you want to talk to a mentor about, and they will match you with they've got 50 women in Newcastle involved in
this.
That's
awesome.
Huge.
Yeah.
So you pose your question. Perhaps, you know, you want to get ahead in your career, perhaps you have a difficult situation at work you don't know how to deal with, perhaps you want to change careers. They will match you with the right person. You go for a nice walk along the foreshore, get your exercise, multitask, and manage your career forward. Jess, have you been asked to be a mentor for this?
Surely you have.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
but
what? Oh, I missed out. I must have missed you in the application.
It's such a great idea. Like, I know of a few businesses who do it, like big businesses who do it internally with, like, their staff to their senior, like, management team. And it's not only benefiting, like, those younger women, but it's also benefiting the management team too. I've spoken to one CEO who's done it, and this was a man in this case, but he said, you know, he learnt a lot about himself by, you know, going back and talking about things with his mentee, like reflecting on stuff, and that sort of helped him, you know, see where he is now and, you know, move forward in his career too. So there's benefits on both sides. I think it's awesome.
And particularly given there's so few women at the higher, you know, the C-suite level, to give women of Newcastle the opportunity to have direct access with other women already in the C-suite is just such a great opportunity, and it's such a great initiative.
Do you know if there's any kind of like age limits around it? Because sometimes people might be restarting their career or trying to get out. There's no, that's awesome.
No.
Because you never know, like people have different journeys, right? And they say you should never, you know, compare someone else's situation to you and just focus on your own journey. So to have that, that's brilliant. It's really
it's
cool.
It's a really great initiative. If you want to find out more about it, the website is just Mental Walk. So just Google that, you'll find it.
Is it like a ticketed event? Is that kind of like how it works?
Yeah, okay. So you and there isn't another one now until February.
Right, okay.
So they're on Christmas break after this, but you basically fill in a form and it's $33, which just covers all the admin and stuff, yeah.
Well, oh, happy days. There you
brilliant
go.
Initiative. Thanks for that, Kath. You're waking up with the Novos here at
Newcastle. And the Jets have the advantage, and it's paid cash for the Jets.
105.3 New FM, official home of the Newcastle Jets. And now, catching up with Jets legend Ryan Scott.
Whoa. Jets legend.
How's the G up? How are you feeling this morning, mate?
I'm flattered after that.
Yeah, I know, as you would be. You've gone a bit pink, a bit rosy, blushing in studio. No, of course, so close, yet so far, I guess, on the weekend, picking up the first win, up 2-0. Do you feel like there's a bit of a monkey on the back? You guys are so close to getting that first win of the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't say monkey on the back. Yeah, it was good to, we obviously played a lot better. Went up 2-0, and I guess it's a bit of a dangerous scoreline. They were always going to come at us in the second half, and they got the equaliser, and we had a couple of chances again to probably take the win, but it wasn't to be, so that's okay. We move on.
Well, it was the first home game of the season. We've talked a bit about how you have to deal with away fans, but you couldn't escape them, even at home. But before the game started, Western Sydney Wanderer fans, RBB, with the flares going out at your end.
Yeah.
Can you see when that's all happening? Is it impairing your vision?
It was a bit hazy.
It was chaotic.
Yeah, they were sort of going off there on the side. Started ripping a few flares, which is always, I don't mind. It's good fun.
Doesn't bother you.
Yeah, good atmosphere. But it was a bit smoky and
throws you
a bit choked up. But
throw up a little bit, or you're thinking about it at least.
Well,
I was on the other side of the stadium. I could smell it from where I was, so I can imagine like you were in the midst of it all. Nothing had even happened yet. Were there any clues that this is going to go off?
I guess we knew that they always have a good following, especially the games in New South Wales. Mm-hmm. It just adds atmosphere to the game, and it was good to play at home. And it got a bit of rain before the game. It was thumping down for a while there. I wasn't sure if we were going to even get out there. But I guess we move on to Saturday now.
So we didn't break the record for the girls in crowd size, but that screamer from Chelsea right at the end, was it 92 minutes or something?
Yeah, it was that 90-second one from Cass Stavis.
Yeah, that's the
unbelievable.
One.
Did you guys stick around and watch it?
Yeah, we stayed around. I watched the first half. My parents were down, so I went and caught up with them. Saw the goal that Cass scored. I think it was a record-breaking game as well.
Yeah, 132 appearances.
It was absolute screamer, so... They salvaged a point as well, so it was good for the girls to get back in the game.
Yeah, that is good. You guys have kind of promised throughout the season that you're going to play an attacking style of football and kind of live and die by the sword.
Yeah.
And we saw some of that, you know, coming to fruition on the weekend. Is that something you're going to build on, become more and more attacking?
Yeah, that's it. We want to be aggressive. We want to play forward when we can. We don't want to die wondering. So I guess our supporters would have got a good show of that.
On the weekend. Game.
Yeah, that's it. And then I guess it's about managing the game as well. So, we scored two in the first half, and then, you know, I guess we probably dropped off a little bit in the second half, just trying to sort of get through to the end. But I guess we come unstuck there, but we'll learn from that.
big update this morning, and not even the other players would know this yet, but you have taken off the moustache. Is that a like part of your plan to become more streamlined? What's the situation there? What was the thinking behind it?
There wasn't much thinking. I was I legit woke up this morning and had probably, I don't know, spare 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, I'll just clip the beard.
Bored.
And then, yeah. Then, yeah, I still had to clip the bulb as well, so...
It's gone.
Yeah,
it's gone.
It'll be back in a couple of days, don't worry.
let's look forward to this weekend's game. Western United, your old mob.
Yes.
Any, you know, extra anxiety around that excitement playing against your old team?
I wouldn't say anxiety, yeah. Probably just excited to... obviously got a couple of good mates in that team. And, yeah, it'd be nice to catch up with a few people from the club as well. But, I'm looking forward to it. No bad blood.
So you're not worried about getting a little extra bit of attention?
Nah.
A few elbows at corners or nothing? Nah, not worried about it?
I've got a good mate who plays for them, Lockie Wales, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been into me this week.
Yeah,
as long as he doesn't score, it's okay, but...
He's the one that can't score.
Well, he texted me last week and after the game, he said, oh... I don't want to talk to you this week. Friends off the field. Friends off the field, enemies on it. And I was like, oh, rightio, come on, mate.
Jeez.
Like,
yeah.
And then he was joking, so he said, nah, it's all good. But hopefully we can go and turn him over this week.
And do you have a few extra tickets available, you know, going back home, mum, dad, I should be there, all that kind of stuff?
The game's actually in Ballarat, which is...
Is it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Which is, I don't know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of west of Melbourne. My family's like an hour from... east side of Melbourne, so it's a bit of a hike, but yeah, they're gonna...
They'll be there for sure.
Yeah, they'll
right?
make the trip. Make nice the trip one. Out to the Rat.
the Rat. I love that.
Yeah, the Rat. So it'll be good.
I'm sure the Rat Pack will be there in full force as well.
No doubt.
Fingers crossed you guys can get the win. Best of luck on the weekend, mate.
Thank you. Cheers.
New FM is local as, and you're waking up with the Novos. New FM.
I'm definitely loving my flashback stuff today. Obviously, I had a little bit of a rant earlier about my love for Christian Slater.
Yes.
And, you know, educated you boys on the movie Heathers. There's a band playing tonight at Lazotte's called Frente. And you are both looking at me blankly.
Very blankly.
Yeah, glazed.
So Frente was huge in the early 90s. They had an EP called Clunk. It had a song on it called Accidentally Kelly Street. And Accidentally was misspelt, which was one of those things that always going to hook me in.
what spelling mistake? Kath is on alert.
It's actually really funny because they misspelt it, right? So instead of accidentally A-double-L-Y, it was just accidentally L-Y. So it's...
Now, did they do that accidentally or on purpose?
This is the thing, but they left it, right? So that it was misspelled on the EP, but they left it on all of the other versions of the song. So it's kind of one of those cute little things of the story. Probably the biggest song that they had was a copy of New Order's Bizarre Love Triangle. Anyway, they're playing tonight at Lazotte's, 6 p.m. Go along, have a little bit of a flashback if that's what you're into. They'll have all of their big hits, as they say, as well as some other new stuff as well.
Go hungry as well. Like, make sure you get there hungry.
Lazotte food.
Unbelievable. Such a nice little intimate venue. You can have, like, little feed and watch a show. That is a great venue to go and enjoy some live music.
Will you be there, Kath?
No.
Too late for us. We start too early.
Yeah, that's
true. It's a school night.
Well, no, because I did, you know, I stayed out on school night last night. I can't do it two nights.
Two nights in a row.
That's fair enough.
Kath says no. Hey, up next, moving into the area of tackling what to do with the old 1G power station, because sitting there, rotting away, and it's such an amazing building. I've got to figure out what to do with that place, and we'll chat more about it next here on New FM. A few showers about today, tops of 26 as you're waking up with the Novos here at New FM. And the 1G power station, if you've ever been down that way, if you live in the area, it is the thing that you see. Like, it doesn't matter where you are in 1G, you're driving around, you're right down near the lake, or you're up in the, like, hilly sort of bit. Wherever you are, you can see this big building.
Well, some towns have, like, you know, the big prawn or the big banana. 1G's got the big power station. It's the bit of, like, a tourist attraction as you go through.
Well, you say tourist attraction, but you can't really go in there.
Yeah.
And I think this is actually a massive shame, because it's actually, when you look at it, it's actually an incredible building. and it could be used for something so much better. It's sitting there just sort of minding its own business, closed off, and there's like 25 hectares of land around it as well that could be used for something amazing as well. Like, I just feel like it's a bit of untapped potential in our region. Do you guys, what are your thoughts on what it could be used for? You've had a little bit of a look at the pictures and stuff.
Yeah. Well, is it heritage listed? Is that right?
That's part of it, yeah.
So the building itself is heritage listed, and there's a whole bunch of rules around that. And you know, there'll be parts of it that you can change and parts of it that you can't.
Often is the way with that sort of thing. Now,
my first suggestion that comes to mind would be like an immersive hotel experience. Take you back to the 50s. You've got to dress up and, you know, kind of like dress up time appropriate.
Yeah.
And you'd live the experience as if you travelled back in time.
I love that.
I think that would be cool because the building inside is like, it almost is a time capsule. It looks really cool.
Yeah. And if they could preserve some of that thing, which would like fit in with the heritage situation, that could be great. Another idea that came to my mind with, got a big bit of land around there. There's no theme parks between, like, Wollongong and the Gold Coast. That, how is there such a big piece of Australia with no theme parks? And that much land, what an amazing thing to have. And it could be, like, part historical, part theme park, or, you know, linked in somehow. And
use it as, like, a ghost train or something, the actual power station.
Why not?
That'd
Why
be
not?
Cool.
That's, well, I think, you know, it would be nice to have a museum that kind of talked about our coal history and our power history, particularly as it's, you know, in the process of being, I don't want to say erased, but
yeah,
you know,
it is though.
Closed down in ways that a lot of people aren't happy about. It'd be great to capture it in you know, an authentic building. I think that would be great.
Anything to save that building, really, from just falling down. Here's what I wanted to do, and just throw it out there. 4967-4105. Maybe you live in the area and you've got some ideas, or you're just inspired and want to do something with it. What should we do with the old Wongee Power Station? Up for grabs this morning, we do have a family pass the Australian Reptile Park. It's worth like $130, which is, the Australian Reptile Park's awesome. Great little family event to go to. 4967-4105. What should we do with the old Wongee Power Station?
Maybe we franchise the Australian Reptile Park and put one in Wongee as well. That'd be pretty cool.
Make it a giant snake enclosure or something. That is a big building to use for that. All right, give us a call now if you've got some ideas of what we could do with the old Wongee Power Station. We'll get your calls on the air. Waking up with the Novos here at 105.3 New FM and talking about the Wongee Power Station. Now, this is after a bunch of people were chatting online about, I guess, that, you know, it's abandoned still, it's still sitting there. What's going on?
Collecting dust, really. Wasting.
It is. It could be a great resource for the area. It's such an sort of an incredible building to look at. When you first drive into the area, it just is like the main thing that you see, really. So what can we do with it?
Well, this has inspired many people before, including a group of architecture students at the University of Newcastle who reimagined the Wongee Power Site as a whole lot of different things. A giant gin distillery.
Ooh. Oh, that's cool.
A nightclub.
Yeah.
A dive centre. And a whole bunch of other ones. There's, I mean, it's such an amazing site that, you know, could be used for all kinds of things. And it's great that, you know, I mean, perhaps, you know, it could be a university because it's, you know, a big enough building, big enough site, but also very inspirational.
Absolutely.
Gin distillery is the winner for me.
Yeah, it's your favourite.
No good, you know, having a lot of students if they're thirsty.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to worry about that first, quenching the thirst, and then the students will come later. Plus, if you doubled up and you got to do distillery / power station tours,
happy
as part
days
of something you could do there. Mm. I think that actually that has sparked my interest now as well.
You want to go? Let's head to Cessnock. Michael, good morning. What are your thoughts on what should be done with the old site?
I reckon it should be made into something for kids. Like, have you heard of Revolution at Newcastle?
Revolution? No, what's that?
It's like a kid's place where they have like trampolines and Ninja Warrior course.
Yep.
And big slides and that. It's big enough for that, but it's also sold now to private owners, so.
Well, they can put it there then.
Yeah, they should be up and running.
They don't want to put houses there, but because it costs too much money, because the train line still runs through there, there's all water still through there.
Right.
So you've got a bit of an insight to this, do you, Michael?
I used to go there all the time till it sold, and they fenced it off.
Interesting. A little bit of urban exploring, were you, Michael?
Yeah, there's a few snakes and that in there too, so advise you to be careful. But it's very 1950s. There's no female facilities at all in the building. It's all male. There's
really?
No toilets. Yeah. There's only troughs. It's a very... When you walk through, you know that it's from a different era. You can quite easily tell. So it's sad that it's gone. All the young people that go there trash it now. They just smash the windows.
Yeah, well, that's
so sad.
That's why we can't have it sitting there wasted. That's why we need to do something with it. Because the longer it stays abandoned, the more damage is going to get done by hooligans and vandals.
And, being heritage listed, then they're just like their hands are tied and they're like it's costing them more and more money over time.
Yeah,
right?
And it's going to be one of those situations where they end up selling it for a dollar because they don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah, that if they've paid $30 million, that's a big lot to come.
New FM is local as, and you're waking up with the Novos. New FM.
So I went and treated myself to a new Bar Me place.
Where at?
Now, we know that there's, you know, excitement around me and my love for Bar Me.
Yeah.
And I'm always on the hunt for what I think is, you know, Newcastle's best. And at the moment, it's down to two, really. I think Bar Me 233 in town is, like, there or thereabouts. And I actually really like the Charlestown French hot bread one. But the new one, I think you actually spoke about this opening, Crevo.
Yeah.
Is the one in that little oasis spot.
Kebab centre, yeah.
Kebab centre near where Cappadocia it is. Just opposite from Exchange and all that. A bit of a night hub centre. Honestly, really, really, really good.
Yeah, it's good, hey.
Now, I need to go over and try again their lemongrass beef, because obviously there's the two standouts normally in Bar Me, which is the crispy roast pork.
Correct.
And then the lemongrass beef. Had the crispy roast pork yesterday. Really, really good. I haven't yet tried their, you know, their lemongrass beef one, but I can imagine it's going to be pretty spectacular as well.
That's, I guess, you've got to be comparing, you know, apples and apples, isn't it? You've got to try both to know what your true Stephen score is. And remember, no sevens.
No
as well.
Sevens in it. Honestly, I would say that the crispy roast pork, I'm giving it 9.15 out of 10.
That's very specific.
Well, wow. You're not messing around with Bar Me.
And I haven't just, you know, that figure just hasn't come off the top of my head. There's a lot of factors that go into this system.
Yeah,
you know, okay?
Well, like, crunchiness, amount of meat.
I refute those accusations. I've just made that up on the fly. Absolutely have not.
I made no such accusations. I just said it was a very specific number.
I guess if the shoe fits.
You've got to tell me, if you go to any of these places and they just have the bread rolls by themselves that you can buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am an absolute junkie for really well cooked, beautifully fresh, like long rolls. Like,
really?
Yeah. So
they'll
what do you
sell
use them.
Them
for if not Bar Me?
I eat them straight.
Really?
Like, I eat them just with butter, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you're
really
a real
excited,
purist.
I'll make like a salad sandwich or something and kind of stack it full of things. But I just really, I have a big craving for really well-cooked good bread.
Oof, there you go.
In your defense, sometimes there is no better use for fresh bread than just a bit of butter. Like, sometimes that is the...
A bit of butter and just eat it,
deluxe living right there, isn't it?
I agree with that.
Also
I can
good
get
for
behind
the budget.
That.
Yeah, that too. That too. Now, Kath, up next, a little bit of a, I guess, social dilemma you want to bring up, yeah?
I don't know whether it's a social dilemma. It's just something that I've noticed. So divorce parties were big a while ago. They seem to be coming back, but there's a lot more kind of breakup parties as well. I'm going to get Newcastle's thoughts on this.
Okay. Up next, New FM. Various rain and showers about today. Tops of 26 for Newcastle, 27 for Maitland and the Valley as you wake up. The Novos, New FM.
Talking this morning about divorce parties and whether or not that's an okay thing to do. They're not a new concept by any means. For a good 20 years, divorce parties have been around, but it's not something that everybody gets into. But I've discovered a new thing, which is people who weren't actually married but were with somebody for a really long time, like a de facto relationship, having a breakup party.
Yeah, okay.
So it's kind of whether or not this is okay. So a friend of mine celebrating the third anniversary of breaking up with...
No, they're not celebrating the anniversary of
So there's,
really?
Yeah. But because they weren't married and didn't get divorced, right, there wasn't that moment when the divorce was finalised.
Right.
So the question was, you know, should you have a party to celebrate the end of a relationship, you know, at, say, the first anniversary or the second anniversary, rather than, because obviously when you've just broken up with someone, you're not really feeling like having a party. And this is where divorce parties kind of came in, right? Because it takes so long to get to the end of the divorce process, the legal process, that that is actually a moment where you're far enough away from the actual breakup and all of the emotional trauma of that, and you're starting the next part of your life, so why not have a party? But can you do it for a breakup as well?
I don't know. It's funny you say this, and I guess some people just want any excuse to have a party. But I saw a video going viral on TikTok not long ago of a girl whose friends threw her a party. Mm. They got her a little cake and on it said 1 year without texting him. I don't even think they were in a relationship. I think she just not contacted him for a full year. I don't know. My gut feeling is this doesn't pass the pub test.
Right. I'm saying the more parties, the better.
You reckon?
Yeah. If you want to have a party, because you're sick of that deadbeat loser that you were dating for ages, and finally you've seen the light and all your friends are like, oh, finally we can hang out with you again. That's a good excuse for a party.
What are you thinking, Kath? Are you for these?
I don't know, because I've never been there.
I think, like, from a pure human level, show some empathy, Crevo. Like, if someone else is still grieving or mourning, they're still sad about it, you can't be rubbing it in their face with a party.
They're not invited. You have your own party.
No, obviously, but you might have mutual friends. They might see it on the socials or something like that.
Well, everyone knows when there's a breakup, you win some friends, you lose some friends. Yeah. And you split them up.
There is a moment of resetting where you kind of, you know, I own these ones and you own those ones, but I'm having a party with these ones. You know, so I think there is a point of acknowledging that, you know, separation, that change in your life, you know, it's an achievement or a moment that you can celebrate and remember. If you want to do that with a party, knock yourself out. I'm always a bit kind of mixed on these ones because I'm always on the fence.
Is it comfortable up there? All right, here we go. 4967-4105. Breakup or divorce parties, right or wrong. Maybe you've had one. Maybe you've been to one. We want your stories. Up for grabs. We got fairly past the Australian Reptile Park. How good's that? It's worth $129. That's a good way to start your Thursday.
Yeah, beautiful.
4967-4105. We'll get your calls on the air at 105.3 New FM.
We are talking about breakup parties and divorce parties and this whole idea about whether or not it's okay to, or, you know, a good idea to have a party when you break up with someone after a decent relationship. Obviously, if you're only with somebody for 3 weeks, maybe not so much.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
But, you know, if you were living with someone for a while, you were, for all intents, married, but just didn't have the actual legal process of divorce at the end of it,
Stop being so heartless.
Stephen, you're saying, no, I reckon, you know what, party's a good excuse for a party, it's a good excuse for a party.
Let's ask Newcastle. Let's go to Raymond Terrace first. Olivia, what do you reckon?
Absolutely pro-breakup party.
Love them, yeah?
Embrace the single life, absolutely.
Have you been in a situation where this has happened?
Definitely not yet.
Okay.
Touch wood.
Checking with a couple of my friends.
Oh, you've gone to your friends' ones?
Yep.
Nice one. Oh, well, you know what? Planning for the future, I guess, is all you can say. If you're going to have a breakup, at least you'll have a party to celebrate. Up next to Ellamore Vale, Helen, what are your thoughts?
I don't know if it's really appropriate to celebrate the end of a relationship. If anything, it just shows that you're acknowledging to your family and friends that you've been an idiot.
Embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, that's fair enough. At this point, we're
very fair
one apiece.
At least
apiece.
Empathetic, you know. I agree. Bit of common sense in Newcastle for once. Ellamore Vale doing it right.
All right, let's wrap this up, shall we?
Let's go to Borgo. Good morning, Adonis. What do you reckon?
Good morning. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I was good until I heard this idea. Man, this is a bad idea. This is bad because all you're going to do is remember, like the caller before said, the times and remember, you know, good memories. You might end up recanting and not moving forward. You got to take out the trash and don't expect to go to the landfill and pick it back up.
Yeah, that's it. Leave the trash where it belongs, in the landfill. Get rid of it. I agree.
Those are words to live by. Leave the trash in the landfill.
Across Newcastle and the Hunter, this is The Novos. You're waking up with the Novos.
105.3 New FM.
All right, question around the team. At what point do the Halloween decorations need to come down?
Already should have come down.
That's what you see. How long do they have after Halloween, do you reckon, Stephen?
I give you a weekend leeway. Because you might, you know, might be busy with work throughout the week and stuff, but so, you've got until the weekend following Halloween.
So a full 7 days.
It depends, though, what level of Halloween decoration you're talking.
That's
so you
true.
Remember we spoke to Julie at one of the big haunted houses, yeah. And she said it took a month to take it down.
That's true.
So now, it depends kind of how big they've gone as to how long it takes to take it down.
If you're one of the biggest in the Hunter, sure, I'll allow special exemption 1 month. But I was walking the dog yesterday, and there's one that's not too far from my place in Mayfield, and it's not a lot of deco up. Couple of caution tapes, few fake spider webs, and a handwritten sign, "This is a witch's house." Now, it's either a real witch's house, or those deco's got to come down. Take you 5 minutes.
Well, here's the next question for you.
Yeah.
How long do you leave it before you think, ah, oh, sod it, and I'll just keep it up till next year? Because I've seen that before. As well. The full 365 days.
Well, that happens a lot with Christmas deckies.
Yeah, exactly.
So some people will be doing it with the Halloween now as this thing grows and grows, right?
All right, well, up next, I want to get on my soap a little bit. I'm not happy. I'm not happy with the state of basketball in this fine city, in this fine town, and I'm going to get up on my soap a little bit. I'm sorry. I've just, you know, I've got to get this off my chest.
Up to 26 for Newcastle, 27 for Maitland and the Valley as you wake up with the Novos here at New FM.
And for those who may be unaware, I'm an absolute basketball fanatic.
Yeah.
Like, I love it so much. In fact, sometimes I get in trouble at home because in the morning I'll be watching, like, the NBA over in the States. And then, like, 3 hours later, I'll be watching the NBL in Australia. Like, the NBA and the NBL. I'll be watching both competitions. I even went and watched a couple of the Falcons games in the NBL 1 last year. I honestly can't consume enough basketball. I love it so much.
You're also a player. In fact, some call you the Ben Simmons of East Sandgate.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I am
not
a player.
Not of all Sandgate, just East Sandgate.
I am. No, I do play as well. I enjoy the sport so much. And one of the things that excited me about moving to Newcastle from WA is the rich history that basketball has in this city. I mean, a lot of people do attribute Newcastle to the home of the modern NBL. Like, you know, and the inclusion of the Falcons really made it a national competition. There's, yeah, like, honestly, it has such a rich history.
Yeah.
But they have fallen so far behind in the last couple of years, the last decade or so. And it's getting a bit out of hand. As you mentioned, Crevo, I do play. I play at the Newcastle Basketball Stadium in Broadmeadow there. And the facilities are just, this stadium is 53 years old or something like that.
Calling it a stadium, it's a stretch.
It's just,
it's a large shed. Like, let's not beat around the bush.
Like basketball's an indoor sport.
Yeah.
You can't play when it's raining there. Because the roof leaks, you need buckets on the court and stuff, you know? It's an indoor sport. It should be protected from the elements. It's how are we having basketball games cancelled because of rain?
How is a servo roof better than the one for our main basketball stadium here?
It's just,
look, I know that there's, like, plans and stuff to do a new basketball stadium as part of that whole new sport precinct that they want to do.
In Broadmeadow there, yeah.
But how did they let the facilities get to that point?
Well, that's the question that everyone's asking. And you are right. I think I was reading the government's committed like $30 million or something to some new 12-court stadium. That's all very well and good. And that's great for the future of basketball here. But just because you're building a stadium in the future doesn't mean you can neglect the current one.
Yeah.
It's in all kinds of, I mean, we talked about it earlier today, like the Muswellbrook bypass. Mm. Seems like a similar kind of thing. You know, when's this going to happen?
When are they going to fix it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll fix it. Yeah, right.
Now, what's really winding me up is I've never paid more to play in a basketball comp than I do here.
Okay.
I play Thursday nights. I reckon my player rego, team rego insurance and all that is north of $300.
That's steep.
Very, very steep,
yeah.
Right? And you play in this, they use 6 courts at the Newcastle Basketball Stadium, only 2 of which are full size. So you're playing on smaller courts with, like, a lot of the time, referees that are qualified but are, like, underpaid and under interest. Like, they don't have the interest to be there Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. You know, like, I don't know. It's fine if you're not paying a lot, because basketball and sport in general should be accessible to
everyone. Yeah,
it shouldn't be based on, you know, your financial position.
Mm.
But it's just, what's really wound me up is that, like I said, the facilities are so outdated, and then I get an email from Newcastle Basketball asking for what they're calling a basketball bee, people to volunteer to come and help clean up the stadium and help, you know,
like fix painting and stuff.
Painting, you know, or like cleaning up the dunnies and stuff like that. Now, this is based on feedback they got from a 2021 survey, so they've been holding this information for 2 years. It's okay. I'm happy to volunteer and help out if I'm paying $50 for the year or something like that. But where's my $300 going?
Good question.
Is it going to building this new stadium? That's all well and good, but that doesn't help me now. I don't know. Honestly, it's just really frustrating because, like I said, basketball, such a rich history in this city.
Yeah.
How's it fallen to the side? How's it just, I don't know.
I used to run membership-based organisations, and I know it's really important, you know, for the health of the organisation to give people an opportunity to volunteer and get involved.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems to me to be a case of, you know, somebody hasn't done their job. Like, somebody who gets paid hasn't done their job, hasn't done basic maintenance, hasn't kept things up to date, and they're now asking the membership base, who already pay a lot of money,
To do their job.
To show up and clean.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I just quickly looked at the form, which is a Google form, which they shouldn't be using anyway. Let's just skip past that. You know, the things that they're asking for is literally stuff like cleaning toilets.
Yeah, that's it. And they want you, like Revo said, to grab like a paintbrush and stuff like that. Surely that's covered in my $300 a year fee.
Outrageous, actually outrageous. No wonder you're putting them on roast this morning.
Yeah, I'm upset. That's all I'll say. And hopefully, it's a call to action, and fingers crossed we do see better facilities in the future. Hopefully this new stadium is unbelievable and brings basketball back to the powerhouse it should be in Newcastle.
Yeah. Various showers, thunderstorms kicking about. Bring your wellies today. Tops of 27 as you wake up with the Novos here at New FM.
And we're done.
We are done for the day. And I was just going to say, right at the beginning of the shift, I teased you that Jess and I went to Maitland Jail yesterday to check out a new thing, right, which I can't tell you because it's embargoed.
That's right. You used all the fancy words.
Yeah, that's it.
Embargoed isn't that much of a fancy word.
A little bit.
Embargoed. Okay. That's like four claps. That's pretty
flashy. We'll be talking about that on tomorrow's show. They've got a new attraction, a new part of the tour.
That is exciting.
And Jess and I got to go and have a sneaky peek.
Is it one for, I know it is embargoed. Bargoed. Is it one for the thrill lovers, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like tomorrow's show is going to be full of thrills and spills, though, as well, because the Australian Supercross Championship's coming to Newey this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
McDonald Jones Stadium. We're going to chat to a legend of the sport, Chad Reed, which I'm super excited about.
And just to wrap things up, congratulations to Michael from Cessnock. You've scored yourself a family pass to the Australian Reptile Park. It's our caller of the day. Earlier talking about the Wanji Power Station, he had some great ideas about putting like a kid's trampoline type centre in there. Brilliant idea.
How awesome. I think we've got another one of those passes to give away tomorrow, don't you?
We do. Prizes on prizes. Have a great day, everyone, and we will see you tomorrow.
See you then.